In our case, sustainability is a must. I don't see anymore the, you know, how we hear these days a lot of like, oh, this company is carbon neutral. Mm. I don't think that's enough anymore, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think we put so much thoughts as entrepreneurs, as business people into how are we gonna grow and hire a new team or open a new branch and so on. But few times I hear, how are we gonna be more sustainable? How we are gonna actually keep, like, how do we create a business that gives more than what it takes?
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. In our journey for a sustainable and a mindful lifestyle, we explore unconventional businesses and concepts, all with one singular goal: to bring the inner self in each and every one of us and the people who surround us. Today, we have with us Mauricio Padilla, the founder of Hinter House in Montreal, Canada, spaces where design, architecture, and nature become one. Welcome, Mauricio.
Thank you. And thank you for having me in your podcast. We're looking forward to our conversation.
How would you define a minimalistic architecture? What are the three key features of minimalistic architecture?
I think it's spaces that let you be creative or be in peace with your mind, right? So I think there's different components in within those spaces, but minimalism for us is what's in between things and what's not between things. And thinking always about the less is more. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting how our minds get a little bit more creative, more relaxed when there's, in a way, less things to look at, and the things that we're looking at brings us peace, mm-hmm. right? So I think clean spaces, clear spaces, and a space among spaces mm-hmm. Would for me define how architecturally we see those key components that make our spaces minimalist.
Do you have a background in architecture?
Not at all. My background is actually in software and business. And I was working on those two for 10 years, but I've always been fan of architecture and nature. So every time that I would, I used to travel a lot for work. And every time that I would travel for work, I would schedule my trips in a way that I could escape for the weekend and go for a hike and get lost in nature. And then as I would do this, and especially I would do it in Norway, I would escape into these beautiful mountains, and then I would see these beautiful houses in the middle of nowhere. And I would always think, why don't we have this back in Canada? I mean, we have it here and there, but not as a hotel, or like not, it's not really a common option when mm-hmm. it comes to actually looking for places to stay. So I think it's a combination of nature. I've been reading and a lover of architecture and design for half a decade, so a lot of consumption there, in a way I thought about, how do we bring this to Canada, how to create these beautiful spaces, and how do we show people nature and also spaces where they can relax, be themselves, be creative, mm-hmm. innovate, mm-hmm. be motivated, whatever it means for our guests.
I have two kids, and when they were growing up, there were two concepts of how you lay your house out for the kids to be creative. Mm-hmm. One is that you have all the toys out there, and the other is that the way you're saying, just remove one, play with it, put it back. In my case, actually, the kids wanted to have the easel there, the origami table there, and a bookshelf with books. Our home, I think, was not very minimalistic, mm-hmm. but it fostered a different sort of creativity. But I think what you are trying to tell us, the creativity is for you to be able to detach from different spaces to pick up and work on that.
Sure. I think as we go through life and different stages in life, our creativity is triggered by different things, right? So, so I think with kids, it's a different story. And I haven't done, to be honest with you, that much research on minimalism and kids, but I'm sure that they need some sort of entertainment. But at the same time, I find that whenever they come from like either a city or like a very cluttered space, and then they come back to a place where they can actually play in nature, it's different. They can focus more on the outdoors. That's what's inside. So it all comes back to balance. I think as adults, it's a different story in terms of most of us live lives where everything is busy, like everything is work. We live in like the majority of us live in cities where our mind, although has a lot of things to actually deal with and sometimes a lot of information that we're dealing with, the fact that we have the opportunity sometimes to actually go to these little oases, like either our homes or a place where we can declutter visually, it helps us to transition to something, to a different state, right? So we're used to a pattern of a lot of clutter. And the moment that we actually transition to something else, either it's meditation, a yoga class, or like minimalism through a place, our state of mind changes. And it lets us in a way start thinking about things that we don't usually get the time to think because our brain is too overwhelmed with a bunch of other things from our everyday lives.
True. I like this quote on your website. It said, "It all begins with an idea, then a company, then companies that you want to work with because they reflect your philosophy." So let's break this down. What was your idea?
Creating the spaces where people can relax. And I wanted to provide people spaces where they can connect more with themselves and nature. So I think that was the main idea, and then how to put that together with architecture. So that's the main idea of how this whole thing started.
And did you design the space?
I hired an architect to do that. So I had like all the ideas and components. How do we actually provide a lot of glass so people can feel that they're outside, but being comfortable inside, all this minimalism aspects we're talking about. But then definitely I needed an architect that understood what I was up to, what I wanted to do. So I was lucky to find a very promising young architect here in Montreal, which was happy to and understood what I was trying to do.
So the company you formed was Hintercabin?
Well, it has been transformed. It's a young company, but like through the last 2 years, the actual company now, it's called Hinter Company. At the beginning, it was Hinter House, the main idea. But as we grew, we came up with new products. And just so you understand a little bit of background, Hinter means behind or the hidden, right? It's in German, the word Hinter is behind. So when you're talking about, for example, the word Hinterland is the land behind. So Hinter House was a play on words, like the hidden house, the house behind, or like the house outside of the city in a way, right? So we started with Hinter House, like these houses that would be hidden in the forests. But then we moved into also creating a product that we call Hinter Cabin, which is our 4-star boutique hotel, whereas Hinter House is our 5-star hotel. And so the whole company is called Hinter Company. And the whole idea is to create different spaces where people can escape. And our take on Hinter Cabin versus Hinter House is just, again, that 4-star experience versus that 5-star experience, and just to be able to offer different people different experiences depending on their budget or their likes and so on, right?
So the whole philosophy is to get people away from the everyday madness, to bring out their creative juices, mm-hmm. and to kind of a reboot of all their senses. Is that the basic philosophy encompassing Hinter House?
Yeah, I think it's to offer people a place to reconnect. I think there's a big factor or like a big influence we get from nature. So we thought about providing a peaceful space for people and where they can be one with nature. And reconnect has a different meaning for many of us, but it could be a place where you go by yourself and you go write, read, meditate, or it can be a romantic retreat where you're like putting the lights off on the city life and then just going with your partner and spend a beautiful weekend together. Or it could be two families or a small family that goes into the house. And instead of, I've always thought about the problem with hotels, sometimes when we want to actually do this reconnection side of things, is that we're renting a room, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to actually people to be able to rent a space where they can actually be together, like cook together. One could be reading, the other one could actually be putting up a puzzle or just doing practicing yoga, whatever that is, but spending more time in a space together and creating that space together. So I love hotels, but for this sort of concept, I thought, why don't we actually, instead of renting, what we mostly do is we rent a room. Why not rent in a space, a place to actually be with our loved ones?
Give our listeners a sensory and a visual description. Take me to Hinter House.
I like that. Imagine a place where...
What does it smell like? What does it smell like there?
I like this. Imagine a place where you're driving out from a city and you're starting to see the mountains, the woods, and you see lakes, and then you just go down a road, getting farther from the highway. And you're going into the swirling roads, looking at the trees. And at the end of that road, you see a house which almost merges with nature, right? So you almost don't see the house, but you see it. You see a shelter. You see a lot of windows. As you walk in, it's a weird transition because you still feel outside, but you feel cozy.
Wow.
You feel that there's a lot of natural materials, warm colors. So the place is warm. You see a lot of wood that makes you also like it has that effect on coziness. The floors are heated floors. So imagine this in a winter setting. You feel comfortable. You feel protected. You feel sheltered. But at the same of the time, 60% of the house, everywhere you go, you see trees. You see snow if this is in the winter, right? Or you see like the beautiful trees or the colors in the fall. So it's a weird experience where you are actually merging yourself with nature, but you're in the comfort of your home. And it smells like wood. If you open the window, you get like a beautiful, clear breeze. And I guess it's very powerful to actually think when you get to the house, okay, this is my space for the next 2-3 days. And I think that's when you start feeling how you're going to reconnect with yourself, or you have realized that you're in a very different place, in a safe place, and in a place that you're going to be motivated, that you're going to explore, that you're going to be curious. That's how I feel, at least.
So how far is it from a big city?
Like right now we have two houses. We're a young company. The houses are located an hour and a half north from Montreal, in the Laurentians, which is a small mountain chain that we have through the province of Quebec. And there's a big ski resort in the Tremblant area. So it's a very popular ski resort close to Montreal, but it's far enough that it's not right in the ski resort. And that's the important concept of our houses. You're close enough if you want to actually ski, if you want to actually hike, but you're hidden, meaning when you get into our houses, you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. And that's very important. So we're not planning to actually just build one house next to each other. We want to actually give that sense of privacy. And right now we have two, but the plan is to actually put more houses for now in Canada and then move probably in upstate New York. And the sky's the limit. We've been thinking about putting these houses in Portugal, but always keeping a same consistent experience, right? Like where the guest feels that they are in a private, safe place and close to nature.
I don't need to speak French, right?
No, you don't need to speak French. My French is not even that good.
Okay. So where are you from? You're not from Quebec.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Ecuador. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And I've been living here in Montreal for the past 15 years, but I still do miss the warmth.
Like, what?
But you know what? I was always, I don't think anyone, even Canadians, get used to our winter.
Of course.
But Winter is completely different when you are out in the wild, especially like I learned how to really enjoy winter and the beauty of winter when you have the right setting. So winter in the city, not so exciting. Winter and outside the city in a beautiful house, it's paradise. It's that concept of winter wonderland, and it's so calming, and winter becomes so beautiful, you know? So it's a different story when you live here and you have to deal with it for 5 months. but it brings so much peace. When I was growing up in Ecuador, we almost don't have seasons, right? We're in the equator. Right. So like all year round, it's just warm. It's not even hot. It's not cold. It's just like, it's just perfect weather. But the seasons bring so many things, right? That looking forward to something, or like those transitional periods. Also, it brings change. So the beauty of the houses that I love is that, like, if you come in October or November, you see those crazy fall colors, right? Then in the winter, you have this peacefulness we're talking about. In the spring, you see animals all over the place. Wow. It keeps coming up. Like, you see beavers, you see wild turkeys. Like, you see life coming back. And then in the summer, it's a place where you have lakes. Like, the weather is amazing. It's warm. You can go for hikes. So it's just a beautiful thing to have like this, such strong seasons as well. And especially, again, when you have nature factored
in. I almost want to get in my car and drive up to Montreal from Lafayette.
I hope you can make it one day.
I do hope so too. So just in case our listeners are wondering, why are we featuring this boutique hotel? I'll tell you what drew me to your website. I came across this in the various blogs and newsletters that I read. And what attracted me was the last part of that first sentence that I read out. Then you pick the companies you want to work with because they reflect your philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I believe that each and every component in the space that now you have described are sustainable, mindful companies, brands, right from the linen, the soaps, different parts. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And that's a main driver. And I think as we do in business or as we do in lives, you know, who do we relate with have to have ideally our same beliefs, or we can learn from those people. I think it applies the same with companies and the companies that we want to work with and partner up. In our case, sustainability is a must. I don't see anymore you know, how we hear these days a lot of like, oh, this company is carbon neutral. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's enough anymore, right? Mm-hmm. I think we put so much thoughts as entrepreneurs, as business people into how are we going to grow and hire a new team or open a new branch and so on. But few times I hear, how are we going to be more sustainable? How we are going to actually keep, like, how do we create a business that gives more than what it takes? And we have the mind, the capacity to actually just figure out these problems, but we're not thinking about them enough when it comes to businesses. So that's one thing that we do. And that's one thing that I look into different partners that work with us. Are you actually taking this seriously?
Mm-hmm. So for instance, who are your partners?
When it comes to cleaning products or self-care products, we work with this amazing company called The Unscented Company. It's a startup, a Montreal startup. And what they do, it's a few things. And sustainability, of course, is their main focus. But they sell by bulk. You can buy this big carton boxes where you can actually, like they call them refill stations. So what we do in the house is we would actually buy body soap, all-purpose cleaning, conditioner, shampoo in these big boxes, detergent, dishwasher, soap. And what we do is we store them in our storage room, and our cleaning crew, every time that we're running out, they refill it through those boxes. Those boxes are like completely recyclable. You start actually saving also on the containers. So there's less plastic consumption, and all the products are biodegradable too. So, and they're all natural. One thing is working with this sort of companies, but then another one is, and a beautiful thing is that you start educating people and our guests about it, mm-hmm. right? So, mm-hmm. and so we've got a lot of comments from our guests, hey, where can I buy these products? Or like we've heard from our partners, in this case, Unscented Company, people have reached out to them and say, hey, I just stayed at Hinter Cabin. I want to buy all of your products. So that's actually really good to hear. And you feel way better in terms of like how you're educating people. Not only you're keeping a sustainable business, but you're spreading the word or educating people towards how to deal with these things. Another great partner of ours is, it's called Magic Linen. This company is in Lithuania, and they produce the linens for very high-end linen for the bedrooms. Towels are from them. And these are custom order, meaning like they don't mass produce.
Right.
Like whatever you order, you pretty much, they will produce it, right? So that's massive.
Right.
And then it's washed linen, handmade, and so on. So you're supporting like smaller economies.
Mass production has actually caused a lot of damage to our environment. So the fact that they're able to make small batches and not have waste and not have, because a lot of the waste and the low prices come because you have so much excess that you have to order, like say you had to always order in batches of 100 sheets. You know, you basically couldn't do that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And you're on point on that. And yes, sometimes it's more expensive. But we found ourselves, like I think through the 70s and 80s and 90s and early 2000s, in an economy that the cheapest was the better option, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Until we started figuring out what you're saying, that is, well, I can go the cheapest way, but I'm not helping anyone. Maybe I can actually spend some extra bucks and help everyone, right? Like not just myself, but like the planet. So I think little by little, like we've seen a transition in companies, and luckily, like we're living through that transition, or like it could have been later. So I think we see a big trend these days, and I'm happy to have that trend.
Right.
Where people will actually just go and spend a little bit extra for that organic product or that handmade product to help like local economies and so on. So it's doing our part in spreading the word. And again, going back to the educational side of things. And look, I mean, our cabins are not the cheapest ones to actually book, but it's all embedded in those costs into how to actually generate a business that can provide or give more than what it takes. Right. So that includes this biodegradable soaps or cleaning products, this high end, quite expensive linen. We also plant 10 trees per booking.
Right.
Right. So and that's a big one. And that's I feel so happy that we ended up doing that. I was like 6 months ago thinking about, here I am creating a business where we're going to build more houses, mm-hmm. Take down trees to be actually to be built,
right.
And also like for the actual house, you need a bunch of trees. So I was just thinking, okay, great, I'm bringing people to nature, but am I destroying nature? Because I love nature so much. So I was like, kind of like, what the hell am I doing?
Right.
And then I was just thinking, how do I give more than what I'm taking? And the first thing that made sense is, okay, how do I plant trees? And I looked up, and like within 30 seconds I found like 5 nonprofits on Google that they were planting trees. So we partnered up with this amazing nonprofit based in the States, One Tree Planted, which they have like different plants for businesses. And we partnered up with them, and we decided that we were going to plant 10 trees per booking. So they're like $10 that we actually donate to this nonprofit to plant trees where needed the most, or where, when we think that a particular part in the world needs it more. For example, like 2 months ago, we donated to Australia. But the point is that as little as it feels, each house ends up planting about 1,400 trees per year.
Wow.
So it's much more than the house takes, right? So, and also, again, it goes back to education, because whenever people book and we tell them this, they feel so good that they're part of it,
yes.
right? Kind of like, hey, by the way, thanks for booking with us. You just planted 10 trees. Mm-hmm. It's very fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm just booking a place. I'm relaxing, but I'm also giving back.
Right, right. And I don't think for what you offer, the prices are, I mean, they are upper hand if you compare it to a cabin. But if it is a home, a full equipped home.
No, but you're bringing a good point. To be honest with you, it's not extremely expensive. It's not cheap, but it's not crazy amounts of money, you know? So, and that's another point, because we do want to make it fairly accessible.
And also you need to market to a different market segment at this point. And, you know, it's a business too, right? It's not a charity. It's not just education. It's a mm-hmm. business too. So the price point, you have to figure out what your competitors offer and be on par with them. Otherwise, people will not take you seriously.
Yeah. Definitely.
They won't believe that you're giving all these things if you make it very reasonable at the price of a cabin.
Coming back to the price, I think the way that I see it too, I'm at a point in my life that it's not all about the money, but as you said, it's not charity. Mm-hmm. So I think you find that balance where you know that you're generating some type of business that it's profitable, but most unprofitable. It does not only mean money-wise. I think profitable also means, am I planting trees with that money? Mm-hmm. Am I educating people? That's profitability, right?
True.
How am I actually helping people? So not charity, but also not money-oriented. Is this business bringing enough so it can actually do what it's supposed to do?
Yeah, and survive and grow.
Yeah, 100%.
So what will it take for the big chains to adopt this sort of a stance towards sustainability? I know Marriott hotel chains decided not to use straws. Okay, that's a very small step. What will it take to motivate them to say, hey, we will use biodegradable products?
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk about your products is that very often when the products are natural, people are not sure if it's actually killing germs. I need to use bleach to clean. You know, like it's something very strong. So how do you assure that it's actually cleaning?
That's a good question. I guess probably we should actually ask the guys from the Unscented company, especially at this time, probably they got a lot of questions about like, hey, this is a biodegradable organic product. This is killing all the viruses out there.
Right.
So to be honest with you, I don't know the chemistry involved into what kills viruses and whatnot. And definitely probably bleach is a better option. But